Welcome to the Step by Step podcast. This is Steve Braswell. I'm glad that you're listening again today. Maybe some of you for the first time. Welcome. I checked the other day and I've had listeners in over 15 states and Mexico. So wherever you are, I'm glad you're with us today. You'll notice on the podcast that it is available every Monday at 9 a.m., but it's available anytime after that. So they're all posted there together. You can go back and listen if you miss any, go back and pick them out and listen to them anytime. We're right now, last week, started a brand new series called Surviving the Storm. I talked about how every one of us in our lives have storms. We're either heading into one in the middle of one or heading out of one and getting ready for the next one. So storms are just a part of life. And last week we looked at, from James chapter 1, three things to hold on to in the middle of a storm: God's love, God's goodness, and God's grace. But now, for the next number of weeks, we're going to be looking at a different storm each week. So today, the topic is surviving the storm of my fears. What about you? Do you have any fears? I looked at Parents Magazine list survey of the top fears of preschoolers. And it was interesting to me, even though these are specifically for preschoolers, I think a lot of us adults still share some of these fears. Think about it for yourself. Number 10 is doctors and dentists. I don't like anybody who gives me shots or causes me pain. So number 9, toilets and bathrooms. You think about it, some of those toilets are very loud when they flush. And then what if you had the fear of falling in? That would be terrible. Number 8, masks, costumes, mascots. You know, I don't know who's behind that mask or what they're going to do. Number 7, being alone. I feel safe when somebody else is with me. Number 6, separations. You know, parent, why are you leaving me? What if you never come back? I'm going to scream and cry. 5, strangers, including anyone they're not around regularly. They don't know an uncertainty in their life. Don't know what kind of behavior they're going to have. Or maybe because their parents have warned them about stranger danger. 4, bad dreams. I'm afraid to sleep because of the nightmares that I have. 3, weather, howling wind, thunder, lightning. 2, monsters under the bed or in the closet. And then number 1, what do you think is the number 1 fear of preschoolers that you might share? Number 1 is the dark. Yes, still can be afraid of the dark. Now, our scripture today is Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 31, if you want to take a look at that. The context is that Matthew has arranged Jesus' sayings or into a collection of what we might call 5 sermons or collection of sayings, and this is one of them. This particular one is centered on mission. Jesus is sending out his disciples on a mission with instructions. And so he's warning them that people will oppose them. It will not be easy. All right? This is part of that warning, beginning with verse 26. So do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Did you hear the repeated words and the emphasis I gave them as I read the passage? Don't be afraid is repeated 3 times. Well, of what are you afraid? And fear is really for all ages. I remember one time talking to youth in our church and talking about the subject of fear and something they all had. And one particular young lady, I asked her, well, of what are you afraid? And she kind of put her hands up to her face and said, everything. We can think of reasons to be afraid of just about anything. Well, I told you about the preschool fears. What about adult fears? What are the top phobias in the world for adults today? All right, I'll read you the list, see how many of these you can identify with. Number 10, holes. 9, flying. I know some people who will not get on an airplane. Number 8, germs. 7, small spaces. 6, thunder and lightning, just like the kids. 5, dogs. 4, open or crowded spaces, so they don't even leave home. 3, heights. 2, snakes. And what do you think number 1 is on this list? You can see different lists in different places, but on this list, number 1 is spiders. You share that one? Well, does the Bible have anything to say to our fears? Have you noticed in the Bible that anytime God or Jesus or angels appear, what is one of the first things that they say to the human being? Don't be afraid. Now, I like that. That lets me know that God understands my fears. And so he gives that word of comfort whenever he or his representative appears. Don't be afraid. Well, this is obviously the theme of this passage in Matthew 10 because Jesus repeats that phrase 3 times. But let's go back and look at it a little more closely. Look at those 3 things that he says and see 3 reasons Jesus gives us for not being afraid. Okay, don't be afraid. First, verses 26 and 27, don't be afraid because the truth will prevail. Verse 26, don't be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. See, what is hidden will be revealed. The truth will prevail. What is spoken in secret will be shouted from the housetops. Every evil deed will be exposed by the bright light of God's blazing truth. Now, that might be a reason for me to be afraid if I think of my evil deeds being exposed, but that's not what he's talking about here. That's still true, but he's talking to disciples who are going to be sent on a mission and evil is going to be working against them. And he says, don't be afraid of what evil tries to do to you, because in the end, maybe not today, but in the end, the truth will prevail. You can have that confidence. So I don't have to be afraid. It might not look like that today. It might not feel like that today, but the truth will prevail. Okay, secondly, verse 28. Why don't be afraid? Because God is greater than all your troubles. Verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Okay, what's the worst thing they can do to you? Now, that's still bad stuff, but what is the absolute worst they can do? They can kill you. Now, that is bad. I don't want that to happen to me, but that's the very worst case scenario. Okay, where will that leave you? Your body will be dead, but not your soul, not the real person you really are. Their power ends at the grave. It can go no further. God's power includes everything with no boundaries. So even if they bring you down to the grave at that very place of your greatest fear, guess who's going to be there? God's going to be there to receive you and bring you safely home. So see, they can't really do anything to you that will be beyond God's power because God is greater than all of our troubles. That reminds me of Martin Luther's great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It ends with these words, let goods, you know what that is? All your possessions that you love so much. And kindred, you know what that is? That's your family, all those people in your life that you love so much. Let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. So don't be afraid. Don't say to God, you are not big enough for my troubles. Turn to your troubles and say, God is always bigger than you. See the difference? God's greater than all our troubles. And then the third reason not to be afraid, verses 29 through 31, because God takes special care of you. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. My guess is that some of you struggle with issues related to self-worth. I'm not worth enough to be in that relationship. I'm not worth enough to do that job. God doesn't consider me worthy enough. But listen to what these verses say. You know, what's really important about a person is what they care about. You can, if you got to know me, you'd learn a lot about me by the things that I care about the most. Well, notice what God cares about, according to these verses. First, God cares about things we don't notice. In Israel, in Jesus' day, Jewish people would buy animals for sacrifices in the temple. The rich could afford to buy a lamb or a goat or a bull, but not the poor. The sparrows were the humblest of birds, and they were so cheap, you could buy two for a penny, which is cheap by any standard. Well, these are birds you wouldn't even notice. But catch what Jesus says about God's care for these birds. First, God notices when they fall. God cares enough to even notice when they fall. And second, not one of them, even the tiniest of them, will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. Not only does God notice each one who falls, each fall also fits within His plan and care. Now you can apply that to yourself. Like the birds, you have falls. Live long enough and it will happen to you. You will get sick. You will lose your job. You'll get ripped off. You'll have tough times. You'll go through a storm. Someone you love will die. But notice, you will have your falls, but never apart from your Father's love and care. Even in the midst of those, God is caring for you because God cares about things we don't even notice. Second, in these verses, God cares about the tiniest details of life. He says, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now we can make jokes about those who have less hair than others, but experts tell us the average human head has 100,000 strands of hair. Now, I looked that up. If you had asked me to guess, I never would have guessed anywhere near that number, but that's what experts say. It varies by color, interestingly. Blondes have 140,000, brunettes have 105,000, and redheads have 90,000. Now, when I think about my hair, it's only in terms of whether I need a haircut and when I will get it and how much it will cost. So the cost continues to go up. I don't even think about my own hair in terms of numbers of hairs. I don't wake up in the morning and think, I wonder how number 296 is doing today and if it'll stay connected all day long. Just don't think like that. Well, here's Jesus' point. If God cares that much about the tiniest details of our lives, how much more does God care about the big things of life that matter the most? And notice something that's almost unbelievable. God has that much care for each one of us, not just His favorites, but for all. Now, who could possibly have the care and time and interest to have that much care for the many small details of billions of people? Only God. That right there gives you a glimpse into the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the vastness of God. Only God could do that. So God cares about the tiniest details of life. And then how much more does He care about the bigger picture? And then the third thing, God cares about us when trouble comes. Jesus ends, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. There are two sparrows equal one penny. So I could read that as, what is my worth? I am worth, let's say, at least 10 sparrows. That's 5 pennies. No, that's not what He's saying. If you want to quantify everything, and some people do, If God has 1,000 measurements of care for a small sparrow worth only half a penny, then how much more care does God have for you who are made in His own image and for whom Jesus came to give His life as a sacrifice for your sins? Those two things show you, give you an indicator of how valuable you are to God, how much you are worth, and how God cares about you when troubles come. I remember our younger daughter, Lauren, had a huge fear of thunderstorms, and that lasted a long time in her life. Now, I don't blame her. Some of them, it can be very frightening. It can sound like a bomb has exploded just outside your window. And then you add the bright flashes of light in the middle of the night when it's dark. It's enough to make any of us afraid. And then there's the suddenness of it. It comes without warning. It can happen any time in the next moment. So what would Lauren do? She would cry out in her bed, and she would not stop. She was determined. So what would I do? I would go and get her and bring her into our bed. The storm would continue and be just as strong and just as loud. The storm would not let up at all. But do you know what Lauren would do? She would fall fast asleep. Do you know what I would do? I'd be wide awake. I'd still be listening to the storm and wondering about her. Why was she so afraid and then so peaceful and restful? Because she trusted in the care of the one who was near. God has promised to be near to you, even in the worst storms. Hebrews 13:5-6, God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? Now, that's a rhetorical question, but of course the answer is human beings can do a lot to me, a lot of bad stuff. But in the end, I will not be afraid because God is bigger than all of that. Friends, you can survive the storm of your fears. What's greater than your fears? Your fears are real, but change the question to who is greater than your fears? And the answer is God. And where is God? I'm with you. I will never leave you. I'm near you. I'm right beside you. Back in 1905, Villa Martin and her husband were traveling in New York. And there they met a couple named Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle, who were true saints of God. Mr. Doolittle couldn't walk and could only get around with the help of a wheelchair. Mrs. Doolittle had become bedridden and had been in that condition for the past 20 years. But they lived with their faith in Christ and were very happy and became an inspiration to anyone who met them. So Sevilla asked them, what was the secret of their bright and hopeful spirit? Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle, you've got lots of problems in your life, but why are you still hopeful? Mrs. Doolittle said very simply, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. She got that from these verses. And from that comment, Sevilla Martin wrote this song. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow. I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. You might look outside your window today and you might see a sparrow. You might see some other kind of bird or several birds flying around and think they're not that important individually, not that important. But if God cares for them in that special way, how much more does He care for you, one made in His very own image and one for whom Christ died? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope that these words from Matthew 10 will help you survive the storm of your fears. Join me next week, and our topic will be Surviving the Storm of My Worries. So get all your worries together and bring them next week.